Yo, what up? It's your boy with JJ Stone, aka Old Doctor. It's another episode of Doc Tales. I'm a horrible person. I don't keep track of the numbers, so I'll put a number up and you'll see the number. You're subscribed to it. You'll see it. You don't care what number I say, what day it is. It doesn't matter. You can subscribe, though, on IQMZ.com. You could get on Twitter. I'm at Old Doctor. Facebook, IQMZ Media. If you got any money, you could throw it to me on Patreon. I greatly appreciate it. I might do a little dance. Maybe I'll even double up on guests and make them dance too, depending on how much money you throw at me. If you're broke, that's fine. Like I said, just subscribe on YouTube, Apple, RSS, somewhere, because I know people ain't got no money. But if you got money, throw it at me. If you don't, subscribe somewhere. Make yourself useful. Click a sub button. Today, I have like one of my like birthday friends. So I can always give people a title friend. This is a friend that's like a friend that's not a friend that is a friend. Because when we see each other, we got love for each other. We be hugging in the streets because we share the same birthday, which is the best thing because we Libras. And Libras out here doing it. You have no idea who I got with me today. Do you know who I got with me today? I got Sarah Lacey. What's up to the people, Sarah?
Yay! Hello!
How are you?
I'm doing good. It's been quite a while since we've seen each other, but both of our birthdays are coming up.
We literally have to talk at least once a year where we tell each other happy birthday.
So, as your life.
Right? We at least get together once a year for that, and it's fun. Tell the people what you went and got for dinner / dessert tonight.
Some chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream. It was funny. A friend of mine yesterday was like, oh, you know, I'm so addicted to sugar. And I was like, oh, I'm not. I don't even eat ice cream anymore. And what? So then it was in my mind today. And now that's what I'm doing. So I feel no regret.
I don't mind having an addiction to sugar because I'm not addicted to crack or heroin. So
could be worse. Right. Yeah. Sugar, probably some, you know, some health, non-benefits, but it could be worse.
Yes. And technically, you know, I need sugar. And until they start slanging it on the street corner, I'm not going to feel bad about my sugar addiction. I love sugar.
Nor should you.
No. Also, the latest thing I've done, we talked about ice cream because I told you I loved cookies and cream. I've been lazy, which sounds horrible, but I hang out with kids all the time, my daughter and her friends, and I got tired of scooping ice cream out. So my new move is I only buy ice cream sandwiches. So I hand them a cookies and cream ice cream sandwich. I don't have to scoop anything. I don't have to clean any bowls. And I just make sure that they don't spill it and that they put the wrapper in the trash. It is phenomenal. Yeah.
I get that. The last couple of, I'm in this potluck group where, you know, we sort of take turns hosting people at our house, and I haven't used my good china in years. They get paper plates cause it's easy to clean up and nobody cares anyway.
No, they don't. And I see, I love that about you. Not out here trying to fancy Kate and be bougie-fied. Like, look, you're going to eat it. It's going to be gone. Who cares? I got nice china. You just don't deserve to eat on it. When a dignitary comes or African queen comes, I will break out said china. You
exactly. Yeah.
You right. Fine, yeah. Sir. Get paper plates and solo cups.
They were like colorful plates. Okay. In my defense, I did try to make it kind of, you know, festive.
But, yeah. You put some thought into it. It's nice that you care.
I did. Yeah.
So what have you been doing? Because I haven't stalked you super lately, but I was planning on stalking you soon because, like I said, our birthday's coming up. So I always like semi-stalking on your life, especially through Instagram. But what have you been doing? What's fun going on for you?
I mean, it's pretty easy to keep up with me for the most part. But a really great thing that just happened Monday morning, I believe. What is it? Wednesday? Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Tom Merritt's podcast, Daily Tech News Show, which is amazing. They rallied behind my joining the team full time. That's Monday through Friday on Patreon. And we hit our milestone. So that's going to happen October 2nd, which is a Monday. We're just kind of starting at the beginning of next month. And I'm thrilled. You know, I get to hang out with my friend again every day and talk about tech news, which is something that I do anyway, whether or not it's a show. So
it's definitely a show for you.
Awesome.
It's super awesome. And I'm super excited. And also, you know that my love for you is genuine because I pinged you before your big new news of reuniting with Tom Merritt. Because I love Tom.
That's right.
Tom has been a guest on the show. Tom is like my cousin. I love Tom. But let me tell you something. Don't you just dislike Tom? Let's just talk. There's nobody here. It's just us. You know, let me tell you what I don't like about Tom Merritt. Okay, let's go with me here. He knows everything. He's so witty. He's so charming. He's always like, no matter what you say, you could be talking about wrestling. You could be talking about physics. You could be talking about atoms. And Tom Merritt just knows. And that's annoying. I mean, it's cute and it's funny. I just don't like anybody being more witty than me all the time. I can't stand Tom Merritt. Love Tom Merritt. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Tom is not only a good friend of mine, but somebody that I admire a lot because he is so smart, but it is annoying.
It drives me crazy.
Because I like to think of myself as witty, smart, on top of stuff, whatever. And Tom is like constantly schooling me on net neutrality in a way where I'm like, God damn it.
It's
all right. It's fine. You win.
It's horrible. Like every time I think I know something, he's like, yeah, you're right. But also back in 1942. And I'm like, why? Can't you just let me have this for 5 seconds? Let me feel good. Tom. He's so nice about it too. That's why I can't. I tried to start I hate Tom Merritt at South by Southwest, but it didn't work because everybody loves Tom. But I tried.
Right. Yeah.
I tried.
Right. You just turn into a villain.
Yep.
No, it's I get it. I do. It is going to be a constant struggle for me soon.
It's going to be a great struggle for you. I'm excited.
Organized to, you know, he's got his, you know, Google Drive organized in a way where I'm like, well, you're really organized. And he was like, what? Isn't everyone this way? And I'm like, no, they're not.
No. Well, I'm super glad that you see my way to love Tom Merritt in the way that we love Tom Merritt. But I'm super excited to see you on the show. And that's
Thanks.
Great that everybody backed that. That's super fun, super cool. Where'd you grow up? Where'd you go to school? Let's start with grade school.
In back in the day? Okay.
Yes.
Well, I was born in Santa Cruz, but I grew up in Sebastopol, California. And for everybody who doesn't know where that is, it's in Northern California. It's about an hour north drive from San Francisco. It's in wine country.
Oh, wow.
So if you've ever heard of Sonoma County, that's where my little town resides inside. And
you're like a super homer.
What's that?
You're like a super homer. Like you're like from the area. Like you are like born and bred.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's funny. The one thing that I always get when people who aren't familiar with where I'm from or at least know the area is like, do you just love wine so much? And it's like, until you're about 18 years old, no. First of all, wine is cost prohibitive.
Yeah.
if you're even going to, you know, go that route in high school, which of course we did. But no, it was not something that I appreciated until much later in life. But it's a beautiful place, beautiful part of the world. I'm happy to have grown up there. I'm happy to have grown up on an apple orchard. You know, when I was a kid, I ran around and played in the dirt. And
what kind of apples?
A few different kinds on this particular orchard, but Johnna Gold,
I'm like a Granny Smith apple guy. I'm really old school. I knew you were gonna do that. I knew you were gonna do that because you're an apple connoisseur such as yourself. I understand. I knew you were gonna do that to me. I get it.
There is a certain kind of apple that Sebastopol is known for, although you can get it other places, and that is the Gravenstein apple. Now, you mentioned Granny Smith. The Gravenstein apple, just to like eat as a snack, would be too tart and you'd hate it, but it's great for pies. So that's a thing I'm sharing with everybody. It's also great for if you wanted to make applesauce, which is a whole other thing. But my mom used to make a lot of apple pies every summer, and boy, do I miss them.
My friend made applesauce the other day from scratch, and my daughter is addicted to it. She came home and she's like, how do you make applesauce? And I'm like, you just get apples, you peel them, you put them in a crock pot. She's like, yeah, but what else do you put in it? I'm like, a little bit of water and some cinnamon and some sugar. She's like, yeah, but what else? I was like, nothing. You can make this applesauce. So next weekend, we're going to make an applesauce, and she's ultra excited.
Oh, that's great.
So that'll be fun.
Awesome.
Yeah. So
I mean, applesauce is underrated. You know, you get them on latkes here and there, but otherwise, I don't see much applesauce anymore, and people are missing out. It's delish.
It might, maybe it's a West Coast thing, because out here, I was just bringing up the point that the reason she made the applesauce is they have it. People out here eat it with as a side dish sometimes. A couple of restaurants offer applesauce as a, and I'm like 90,000 years old. Why are you offering applesauce with like chicken or a steak like that? I don't understand it. So I don't know if it's like a Eastern thing, a Southern thing, or what, but it does happen out here more often than not. And also, you know, with having a kid, all the kids do is eat applesauce and those stupid squeeze applesauce things out of the tube. And that's just weird. I don't trust
Well,
that.
Yeah, there are different tiers of applesauce, as there are different tiers with anything, ice cream, wine, whatever. But I hope that you and your daughter have a really fun time making some applesauce.
I'll be up to applesauce, like eating applesauce for 3 days straight, probably. So it'll be good. So back to school. When you were in school, what was your favorite subject?
Math.
You good at math?
I was good at math when I was younger. In fact, I am throughout, you know, like elementary and high school, I was like, gosh, so many people hate math. Math is like the easiest one. You know, you don't have to write a book report or whatever. You just like solve an equation and you know when it's right because you can like go, you know, do it backwards. But I was always aware that math was difficult for a lot of people. You know, it's just, it's a mind thing. I don't know. And so when I started college, I went to San Francisco State in San Francisco, and I was actually a math major. And as I got through my first year of college and was taking these statistics classes and just kind of like quadratic, like it was just, it started to get really intense. And I was like, well, hold on a second. What am I going to do with this career? If I really think about it, you know, I think I like math, but what am I actually going to do as a career? And all anybody in the field could really tell me was, oh, you could be a professor, you know, or math teacher, or you could be in some research field. And none of that really felt very creative to me. So I kind of switched gears and went the entertainment route, which I think was the right call.
You hit, well, obviously we'll get to that too, but you hit two like home run things for me. One, you're right. That is a good thing about math, especially when you're younger. I don't have to write reports. I don't have to have an essay. I don't have to have a thesis type thing. I just have to do the work. And if I do the work, the answers come. I have a photographic memory, so I'm an idiot savant on math. The teacher would put the math on the board. I'd look at it and I know the answers. I never knew how to do the work. So like two times I had to take tests in front of like the principal because they thought I was cheating because I always knew the answers. I just didn't know how to do the work. So math has always been like a weird thing for me. And I'm like, I'm never going to use it. But you figuring that out, because that's the first thing I was about to say. You went to college and went for math. Like, what? I mean, obviously I know where it ended up. I know where you're doing now, but I'm like, man, well, that's like,
I mean, I definitely changed my mind when the reality of what a math degree would offer me kind of set in. And I had to, again, you know, these are weird conversations to have as like an 18, 19 year old, right?
Yeah.
I still think it's very odd that we all have to decide these things so early in life. But I do think given the information that I had at the time, I knew I was more of kind of an entertainer than,
And
you know, I was a math person, even though I still find it fun. It's like there's a little math all around me all the time. You know, I'm setting up a studio. It's like it feels like a math problem. Like, why is there audio latency on my mixer? Well, let's figure it out. So
you're using your brain, and especially in a tech field, it does make you think, and you have to solve problems sometimes and see things into the future. So it's good exercise of the brain. But math, and I have a lot of friends that go into school for biology. And I'm like, what are you going to do with that? Like, are you going to like work with mammals? Like we're at SeaWorld for $7 an hour. Like what are you going to do? Like it's some things that, like you said, they make kids decide these things they want to be and have no idea what they want to be. And they spend all this money on it, or they go for communications. It's like, okay, cool. But what are you really teaching me about communications in college? Because I've spoken at a couple of PR classes, a couple of communication classes, and the kids know so much, but they're not learning anything, if that makes any sense. Like what they're directly being taught versus what, especially now with social media and technology, the kids know a lot. So when you're trying to teach them certain things, there needs to be a real focus on it. Well, what do you want to do? Do you want to do broadcasting? Do you want to do radio? Like, what do you want? And that, and that's the hard thing to get kids into, because you don't know and you could change.
And I also think, yeah, exactly. It's what are you going to actually enjoy doing, whether or not you're good at it? I think we're often good at things that we think, oh, I got to leverage this skill, this talent that I have that other people don't. A cousin of mine got a degree in microbiology from Santa Barbara, which is, you know, good school for that, and then went on to graduate nursing school and is now a nurse. She lives here in LA, where I live as well. And, you know, I won't mention her by name because I don't want to out her, but
no need.
You know, she said to me the other day, nursing is on certain days, like, the worst job in the world. Mm. You know, you've got like people who are ODing or dying, or she works in the ER. So her reality is very dramatic. But, you know, these are things that, again, it's like she dedicated a lot of time, certainly a lot of money, all of her 20s to a career that sometimes, you know, has her coming home like really beat and sort of down on life at the end of the day, even though it's a very noble profession. So those are the sorts of things where I think, like, I mean, thank goodness people are nurses. Yeah. I'm not one, and I want a good nurse when, you know, when I need one. But it's tough. It's tough to make decisions like that when you're young.
And that's the thing that people don't understand. When my father had passed away, he was on life support, and I had my brothers and sisters in the room, and the nurse that came in, and we were pulling a plug on him that day, and she wrote, you know, 10 whatever, have a nice day. And my sister went to rip her throat out. And I'm like, sit down. She's like, I was like, this woman is going in and out of hundreds of rooms. There's sick people. There's people who just made it back to life. She's got her own ups and downs, and she's on autopilot. She's writing have a nice day in everyone's room because it's a hospital and she wants people to get better. She did not come in this room to ruin our moment. Okay. So just sit down, you know, and you got to keep in perspective that those people are there. God bless them. Cause I couldn't do it. I mean, I love people. I almost let my sister drown. Now, that's my sister. So, I mean, my care abilities for people it's hard. So you gotta be thankful for those people. So yeah, kudos to her. And that is a rough job. It's something people don't think about. You know, they don't take the time to have empathy. They think, oh, well, this person's just doing this job. No, you're dealing with people, and most of those people need help. So it's a totally different mentality.
Well, and you know, being a nurse is, I mean, that's, you've gone through a lot of education. You've got all sorts of skills, life-threatening, life-saving skills, maybe life-threatening too, depends on how good of a nurse you are. But
Dexter.
You know, those are the sorts of jobs where, you know, sometimes when I hear, you know, how bad her day was at the end of the day, I'm like, well, I didn't get as many likes on Twitter as I wanted on that one tweet that I thought was real smart. So it's all relative.
Those are good tweets. Have you ever been in a fight?
A physical fight?
Yes.
No.
What?
Never. Never once.
Never once.
So it's funny. When I was, I mean, I'm a small person. Anybody who knows me in real life, you know, I'm a little lady, and I always was. So I was never really the sort of person that would physically intimidate anyone else. And I also wasn't a pushover.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Let me put this delicately. I feel like you're pretty sassy, and I'm just thinking of a young you with a little extra sass, and I'm thinking, hey, and then but never you really.
Yeah, no, I've certainly gotten myself out of a few confrontations through gymnastics and wit, but I've never swung at anybody. I've never been hurt. No, never happened. And I'm proud to say that, and I hope it never does.
You are such a wonderful woman. You just look at the joy flowing from your heart. Gosh. Oh my God. I'm looking at you in a whole new light. Next time I think that you're extra sassy, I'm like, you know what? No, No, that's just Sarah being Sarah. I understand. You're not going to fool me again. I see. I'm over there thinking you're over there rough and tumble.
Did I seem like a person who was like physically like boxing people in alleyways? Or
again, you don't take any guff. And I feel like you might be like street fighting in the middle of the night under assumed name. You know what I mean? Just to get the frustrations out. That's just how I mean. I think if you was like a Mighty Mouse, like a lion ready to roar at any given time. That's just what I'm thinking. You know, I love slash and fair to you. So I think like she's out here fighting in these streets, but I guess not. You are a kind hearted person and I can appreciate that.
No. Kind hearted, too generous. No. I like to pick my battles, and physical battles are battles that if I don't think I'm going to win, I'm not going to engage in. It's been a very long time since I ever had to think about such a thing. But there were some mean girls in high school. You know, you had to navigate. Get out of the 7-Eleven parking lot with a quick style.
Navigate the waters. Let's talk about travel. You are a woman about town, about travel, about the world. Where's your favorite place you've been to?
Well, for anybody who doesn't know, we all travel as much as we can, but I did take a year off between 2006 and 2007. And I left the US and I saw a lot of the world, although I had traveled before and I have after, but this was literally a year on the road backpacking. So I did see a lot of stuff. And that's the number one question I always get from people is, what was your favorite place? And it's tough because, you know, you have different continents and different cultures and different food and different walking tours and, you know, various states of, you know, habitation. And it's really hard to answer that question. But on pure beauty, when I was in Laos, I had a wonderful few weeks. That's a Southeast Asian country between Vietnam and Cambodia. See. And also borders Thailand as well.
Because she knows we're Americans and we don't know geography. Thank you for that. So now instead of me Googling it, I have a visual representation of where you're talking about. Continue.
Yeah, it's a very beautiful part of the world. Never seen anything like it. Never will again. And I'd love to go back. I also loved Russia. I know Russia is sort of a weird country to talk about, especially if you're in the U.S. right now. But St. Petersburg was absolutely beautiful, and I found it refreshing in a weird way because it's not really like the rest of Europe, although Russia's kind of its own thing. But you have a lot of Caucasian people, but it's like they're Russian. They're not, you know, they're not German, they're not Swiss, they're not French, they're whole other thing. And I also I spent almost 3 months in India and I loved it.
India's crazy. India has
And you can't just be like, oh, India is a great place to visit because it's a huge country. All the states are different. There's different languages. There's like 1,000 different languages and all sorts of stuff. But it also has a really good railway system. And
the rest of the world has a great railway system compared to us.
Yeah, it's true. India has a fascinating and intricate railway system. And although it doesn't necessarily work the way your local subway might work, it does work quite well to transport literally millions of people around every day. And I love trains. Love them, love them, love them. I don't care if it's second class, third class, like I'll sit in any car. And so I enjoyed my time in India as well.
So one, I haven't been to India. I want to go because I have a lot of friends who have been there and they tell me about it. And it sounds fascinating. And especially if I can get like my own personal tour guide to take me to go see off the beaten path stuff. I want to do that. Russia is another place I never went to because I had an opportunity to go, but then I thought, do I really want to go to Russia? Like I already pushed it, like going to Germany and wandering around by myself for a long time. But Russia seems like a super cool place. And as far as trains are concerned, one, I think I could come visit you. There's this train thing for like $119. Some guy did a train thing from like New York to San Francisco. And it was only like, it was under $150. And I'm like, yeah, it's some crazy, it's some kind of crazy train thing. And it's like a secret thing. And it takes like 4 or 5 days and you get to go across the country on a train. And
oh, that's super cool. Yeah, you have to tell me about this. Yeah, whatever this is, I want to do it in the other direction.
I will find it, and then that's what you do. You train out to me, and then I'll train back with you, and we can train it together. But it sounds like a fun thing to do. And I when I was in Germany, and so we were on it, everywhere I wanted to go, like, oh, we'll just take the train. And in my mind, again, I'm thinking, that's too far away. And they're like, no, like, we do this all the time. Like, you want to go to Paris? Like, whatever. It's not a big deal. Like, we'll just take the train. And I'm like, wow. Okay. You know, because, and here it's like, to take the train is literally a pain. Like, I've had to take the train from Philly to DC, and it's a pain in the butt. And I'm like, I'm only going an hour and a half away. Like, can't we make this better, a better experience?
It's funny that you mentioned the Philly to DC train, because last week I was on the East Coast for work, and I was doing some work in New York for a few days, and then my team and I had to go to Baltimore. So we took the train. And I'm from California, so going to another state is, like, really hard. You're driving for many, many hours before you're going to hit the border. And if you're driving to Oregon, at least from LA where I am, it's like you can't even really do it in a day. So, you know, woke up in New York City, got on the train at Penn Station, and by the end of the trip, I had visited 5 states in 2 hours. And that is crazy to me.
Yeah.
Because it was New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, and Maryland.
Yeah. It's
that's insane to me. And nobody, like, wanted my passport.
Yeah. Right. So, I love to travel. I love to drive personally. Like, I've driven out to South by Southwest from New Jersey, and I've driven to Florida and stuff like that. And I'm, again, going through state. When I go out to California, I usually hit San Francisco, LA, San Diego. So I get a rental car. And people were like, you drove from San Francisco to L.A.? You didn't just – I was like, first of all, then I got to get off the plane, get another rental car to do the thing. And I was like, I'll just drive it. And they're like, you're going to drive? And I'm like, it's like if I'm pushing 120, it's like a 6-hour, 5-hour thing. Like, that's nothing. And I thought the same thing. I'm like, man, I've been driving in California for the last 5 hours, and I'm still here. Like, I haven't gone anywhere. Out here, I'm banging through states left and right. So
right, yeah. You know, you'd be 2 states over for lunch.
It's super crazy. So that train thing I was listening to, but I looked it up. It's a train across the U.S. for $213. And I will link you to this article so you can see how this person did it. But
please do.
It was like on all the BuzzFeed things and all that kind of stuff. So if you like trains, it's cool. If you're not a train person, one person's like, I did it and I went crazy because I had to, like, stop and sit and look at stuff. And they were like, you know, that's what a train ride is. You know, you stop in a town and you hop off, you go look at stuff, you wait for the next train. Yeah. And,
literally the point of the train. It's like, you get comfy, you got a book, you look out the window, you listen to music. I don't know. Maybe work, maybe don't.
Maybe work.
I once spent 8 days on a train. And that was
A
train that went from Moscow to Beijing. So you're going through, like, Siberia and through Mongolia. And it is literally an 8-day train if you don't get out. That's the shortest it's going to be. And there didn't know this at the time, but there aren't any showers because this is sort of like people who are moving, you know, merchandise or produce. And, you know, it's not like a fun, like, ooh, we live on the train. It's like, this is actually how people get around. And, it was challenging, but honestly, like, after you realize all you can do is kind of, like, look out the window, take a photo, and chill, it's really fun.
I love you so much.
You go to the dining car, you have a beer here and there, and, you know, meet your neighbors, and that's it.
I love you so much. You're a better person than me. That would freak me out. I don't know that I could do that. I was in China for 2 months, and I think the longest I was on a train there was like maybe 5 hours. We went out to go look at the caverns with all the statues like that. And there were so many people on that train. I was like,
you didn't like it.
No. And even the buses, like when you're in China or Asia, the bus is really cool. Cause it was at a time where every spot had like a TV screen, everybody had phones. And I'm like, this is really cool. Because over here, that was a long time ago before everybody and their mom had a cell phone. So I'm like, man, we got TV screens on the bus. And I'm thinking, this is cool until the bus got packed. And I'm like, what's the point of having these screens? Get these screens off this bus so you have more room for people, because we were just wall-to-wall people there. And it's, I don't know if I could do 8 days on a train with no shower and no stopping. I felt like somebody was kidnapping me by day five.
You could stop and hop off for like 10 minutes and buy an orange, right? Because like there'd be people who would be, you know, selling you stuff because they knew you had to stop. I mean, you could get up and stretch here and there. You could certainly walk back and forth if you had to.
Yeah.
You could work it out in the bathroom that was there with some non-potable water and, you know, make it work. But it was challenging and everyone was dirty, but it was a lifetime experience.
It was.
I always tell people, like, if you are really a train aficionado, if you really like trains, you do that. You do that week plus.
Yeah. I'm like I said, you are better than me. There's no training.
Link you to my Flickr photo album of my train, and then you can just feel like you were there.
What kind of music are you listening to right now? Who you listen to? What you bumping in these streets?
I actually am super into Lil B's new album, Black Ken.
Have not heard it.
Which came out a couple of weeks ago. He's a Bay Area guy. He's from the East Bay. He's from Oakland, Berkeley, okay. Oakland.
Maybe that's
and,
why I don't know.
A lot of people know him because he also puts curses on NBA players.
Little B.
Yeah.
Little B. Yeah. My
yeah,
bad.
The
Beast
okay. Gods. Yeah. So
yes.
He has a new album and it's sort of all over the place. It's like 27 tracks long and it's great. I love it. I just listened to it for the first time the other day and I was like, I love this. And who else? Oh, Lorde's new album, which came out a couple months ago now. I love also. It's probably like just my favorite summer album ever. I really liked her first album as well. And those are my two favorites.
What music service are you using?
But
what music service are you using?
Apple Music.
Okay. So have you ever heard of a rapper called Lil Dicky?
Yes.
Have you listened to his album before?
No.
I'm going to send you a song. It's called Pillow Talk. It's a 10-minute story and you will contact me after listening to it and you'll laugh and be like, that was great. It's great. I'm going to share that with you.
Okay, good.
And I will listen to Lorde's new album because I did not know she had a new album. I've been like in my own horrible echo chamber of music, meaning I've been listening to like a lot of Cake and old school R&B. Like I just got all the Jodeci songs. I made a playlist for my daughter. I've been during the school year, I try to educate her on older music. In the summertime, I'm always bumping summer jams that are fun. And when school comes in, she goes to bed listening to music every night. So, like, I made her a Smashing Pumpkins playlist. Like, I've just been in, like, she knows so much music. Like, she knows Earth, Wind, and Fire. Like, right now, like, I've just been not into, like, what's new the last month because I've been, like, prepping her with music. And it's so fun, like, when I get in the car and she knows, like, Cake. Like, she knows who Cake is. You know what I mean? And none of her friends know. And, you know, it's just nice because, one, it's nostalgia for me. I get to play old songs. Like, I was playing Wheatus, Teenage Dirtbag.
I do, because I'm just a teenage dirtbag, baby.
Yeah, yeah. Baby like you. Ooh, it's so fun and it makes me feel good inside. And then when after I get her with Osmosis, right, I hit her with these playlists, and then like after a week I'll play it in the car and she'll start singing it and I'm like, yeah. So
right.
I feel like kids
it's
don't
funny what and how old is your daughter now?
She's 10.
Okay.
Yeah, she just
turned 10. Gosh, I remember, like, I think the last time I saw a photo of her she was so much younger. But
yeah,
it's funny what little kids will absorb. I've got a friend who has a daughter and there's a really very popular song by Lil Uzi Vert right now where it's like, push me to the edge.
Yeah.
All my friends are dead. Everyone knows that song.
Yep.
And he's like, she's singing that. And that's like, that's not appropriate for a 5-year-old to sing, you know, but it's like, you just, you know, they know all the words.
Yeah.
It's like how I used to know like commercial jingles for Big Red Gum. You know, it's, kids just are like sponges that way.
1-800-588-2300 Empire. The mattress or whatever it was, the carpet, whatever. So yes, I do totally know that. I can still recite Darkwing Duck right now. Daring Duck of Mystery. Check the other right. Swoops out from the shadow. Darkwing of the night. So yes, we all get programmed with things. Mm-hmm. And that song cracks me up because, again, like, I'm always hanging around with like young girls for my daughter. And they were in the back singing that song one day. And the one girl's like, so like, if all his friends are dead, like, who's he hanging out with? Like, I wonder who's in the video with them.
The thing is that the woman is saying to the man that all her friends are dead.
Yeah.
So it's like even more like, oh,
yeah.
Like this is, you know, like she's like, I can't even deal with you. You have no idea how like tough my life is. And she's like,
right. You're right. And it's just so funny. Like I said, when you hear him singing, I'm like, yeah, well, all my friends are dead, man. Don't push me to the edge because I don't even care anymore. Like they're all dead. Like, really? All of your friends? Really?
All of them? That's horrible.
Yes, it is. And it's,
I mean,
I try so hard not to be the get off my lawn grumpy old man because music in my day and rap in my day. And I tell people all the time, like, look, you have like Kendrick Lamar, like you have Chance the Rapper, like you always have like really good lyrical rappers, and then you have other people that are just dumb. You know what I mean? So it's always that way, and people always complain no matter what. Like when my grandfather was growing up, oh, Elvis is trash. What's this Elvis shaking your hips stuff you're listening to? Like, so
right.
I try really hard not to like rip on a lot of these mumble rappers, even though I think they're garbage, because I'm like, oh, the beat's cool. And, you know,
I think it's easy to fall back on, oh, things were better when I was in, you know, sort of my nostalgia years, which for me is like high school. Right. I mean, yeah. I was in high school when like Pearl Jam was still cool. You know, it's like I could, you know, I think it's
Pearl Jam is still too. Cool. Pearl Jam is still
okay.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah. I've fallen off a little bit, but I'm sure that they're still doing really great stuff. But, you know, I also, when I was, in junior high, my parents had to deal with me listening to NWA and Public Enemy. And my dad was always like, what are these messages about? But, like, they were cool about it, but they were still like, you know, and they were always giving me, like, old Rolling Stones albums. My dad would be like, no, this is a really good, which I also liked.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, every generation is going to somehow upset the older one because the older one has a hard time wrapping their head around it.
I instantly just imagine you busting into the room. If the police coming straight from the underground, Sarah got a bag because I'm brown.
Oh, I mean, I know every lyric. It's not appropriate for me to do that right now, no, but I could. If pushed, if money was on the line, well, I got that one.
You know what? We'll come out. Next time I come out, we'll go do karaoke and okay, make sure everybody puts their cell phones down, and we'll wild out at a karaoke booth. I saw one of those internet videos, and it was a little girl, and the mom was like, tell me again what you want to be when you grow up. She's like, we already went through this. She was like, I want to be a black cop rapper. And she's like, and she's a little white girl. And she's like, well, you could be a police officer and a rapper if you want, but you can't be a black woman. And she's like, Mom, you told me I could be whatever I want. I told you I wanted to be. I'm done. Okay. I'm going to be a black female rapper. And that's just the end of it. And I'm sitting there like, this little girl is so cute. I'm just cracking up. Like, I don't even know what you do with that. Like, you just like.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I can imagine a little kid saying that they'd like to be a profession that, you know, maybe, you know, the adults are like, well, that's a long shot.
Yeah.
But not like a different race.
Yeah.
That's a new one.
Oh, it cracked me up. And my one of my friends is posted. She's like, hey, look, little girl, you go ahead and be black if you want to. To which I think of that woman, I forget her name, to whatever, it doesn't matter. But when she identified as black and everybody ripped her apart, and I'm like, go ahead and try to identify if you want to. But
Rachel somebody, the one from somewhere near Seattle.
Yeah, whatever. But it was just funny because I'm like, man, what was she listening to that she wanted to be a black police officer rapper? I'm thinking like, what music? I wanted to know so bad the backstory on that, of what music that kid listens to, that being a rapper was part of that package. Right?
Yeah. You're right.
Right?
It's like, I mean, maybe Queen Latifah, she's probably played a cop in more than one movie. You know, she's had quite an illustrious career. So maybe, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe it's sort of a conglomerate of things. But, you know, good for you, little girl.
Yeah.
You do whatever you want to do.
I'm going
to
tell you.
Might be tough for you to pull this one off, but I'm mad at you.
I have a list of stuff that I have to send to you, obviously, now. But I sometimes I watch videos like that and, you know, the hilarity of somebody falling on their face or doing whatever happens to them. But I often just think, like, how did they get to that point? Like, what brought you to this situation that you're in? You know, you see these fights or things that go on. I'm like, why? How did you get somebody so angry that they just, like, snuck up on you like a ninja? And then, you know, what happened? So that was the thing I was just talking about, rappers and music, that just cracked me up, because all I want to know is what this little girl listens to. I need her playlist, and I need it like yesterday. So hopefully she ends up with her own TV show, because everybody gets a TV show now when you go viral. And then we find out why she wanted to be a female black cop. totally switching move on that. What's your favorite food? We were talking about ice cream earlier. What's your favorite dish?
Something you could have every day. I go in and out with, but okay, this is super embarrassing, but because I have it just off camera, I feel like we can just talk about it.
It's just us.
I am in love with Wheat Thins. Wheat Thins, to me, are world's perfect cracker. Now, Wheat Thins alone, I can't be bothered, but if you add a little like camembert cheese and do a little like Wheat Thin kind of like an ice cream sandwich, but with the camembert in the middle. Brie would also work. There's a few others. You could kind of do like Gruyere or like a Piranha or whatever. Anyway, cheese and crackers are my jam. Now, I don't eat that all the time, but if I could, I would.
That
I never get tired of it. I never get tired of Wheat Thins. I love them so much. As far as real food goes. Yes,
real food, because Wheat Thins to an overweight person does not sound attractive. If you give me some Toll House crackers with extra butter on them, I'm living the dream. Don't you come at me with these Wheat Thin Brie sandwiches. Though, you can make me a Wheat Thin Brie cheese cracker sandwich one time, and I will enjoy it.
You're
I look at your face. You're so like, you're like, you don't know what you're missing.
Finger food. That's a thing. I also like tortilla. There's a certain kind of tortilla chips. It's called Casa Sanchez. They're made up in San Francisco.
Ooh.
And certain kind of salsa and just kind of like shredded cheese. Like I'll eat that all day long as well. I like finger food, sort of piling little sort of open face sandwiches on things. But as far as real food goes,
real food.
Mexican, 100%, you know, a good burrito cures all ails.
I had a burrito today. I would show you the remnants of it. But I did have a burrito today. It was delicious.
Did you? Now, are you a rice inside the burrito or a not rice inside the burrito person?
I've never not had a burrito without rice.
I don't like rice because I feel it's bulk that isn't actually contributing to the taste I like most. So no rice for me.
Okay.
And that's just, you know, years of research, Owen. Well, years of research.
And now I feel like now I feel like I got to go get another burrito. Now, mind just you know, okay. Let me tell you something. So when I'm like hungry, I have done that. I'm like, yo, ease up on the rice because I want more stuff, or pile up on the rice because I'm like hungry and I want like filling. But I shouldn't ask for the rice to fill up on. I should ask for the other stuff to fill up on.
That's right.
As opposed to the rice. You are
beans, cheese, sour cream, guac. Salsa, what have you, throw some cilantro in there. I'm good to go. I don't even really need meat in my burrito because I like the other stuff so much. But if I had to choose, I would do shrimp.
Shrimp?
Mm-hmm.
What? Who are you? And who? Why? I need to hang out with you. Like, see, you had me with the Wheat Thins. I was all upset thinking I don't want to go out and eat with you. What's wrong with you? You're weird. But now you get, I feel so embarrassed myself. I've never had a shrimp burrito. I want a shrimp burrito.
How do you go to bed and wake up in the morning constantly not having one of these delicacies? Oh my gosh.
So my favorite food is shrimp Alfredo. Like I've traveled the whole world and I'd be like, yo, y'all got Alfredo? I love Alfredo and shrimp so much. When I went to Germany, I brought a jar of Alfredo. And when I made it with the cream and milk, because their stuff tastes different. So I brought canned Alfredo from home to bring it over there to make dinner for my friends. And they're like, what is this? Like, and I'm like, this is shrimp Alfredo, baby. So I've had shrimp Alfredo all over the world. And the fact that I've never had a shrimp burrito is just a negative strike on my lifestyle, how I choose to live my life.
Well, you know, I know you're in Jersey, and so I don't really know what the burrito situation is out there. But I will tell you that the next time you come to San Francisco, or I'm not there anymore, but next time you go to San Francisco, one of the taquerias, and there are many, but my favorite is Taqueria Cancun. And anybody who's worth their weight in salt would agree with me. They have the best shrimp burrito in town. So okay, there you go.
So out here, I live in Jersey in the suburbs. There is, in the next town over, a college town, and there's a Mexican place there that is, mwah, these guys came from Philly. The rent and stuff was getting too high, so they owned like a top Mexican restaurant in Philly. They moved out here. And I do know, because somebody asked me, like, oh, did you ever get a shrimp quesadilla? And I'm like, that sounds cool. And I said, no. But now I'm going to go to them and be like, could you guys make me a shrimp taco? I mean, a shrimp burrito. And I'm going to be so excited. And I'm going to live the dream. I'm going to make this happen. Probably not tonight, because the burrito I ate today was just destroying my whole body. I'm so full. But no rice, and I'm getting shrimp. And then I'm going to message you and tell you how much I love you even more. Like, so my love for you was always at like 85-90%, okay? Halfway through the show, we shot up to like 105. You know, right now, I'm at like a 150. Like, I'm at like maximum levels of love for you. Like, you have no idea. Like, if I saw you right now, I'd hug you so much, you tap me on the shoulder and be like, I need to breathe. That's how much I'm loving you right now for adding this extra shrimp opacities into my life. I'm excited. I'm really excited.
Good. Well, I aim to please. I'm so glad that, you know, we've uncovered some of these gems today.
I know. I mean, the like I said, you got me with the cracker thing. That was a kicker, but this is great. What is your favorite gadget, toy, electronic you have right now?
Well, I usually when people ask me that, I say iPhone, of course, but that's, you know, super obvious. So because I'm looking, you can't see it, but all of my new studio is sort of right in front of me, tucked away. I've got a few new gadgets that I'm still trying to figure out. For like example, what? I have a Blackmagic video switcher that is like an 8-input switcher. So this Logitech mic that I'm using right now is USB out, but if I can convert it to HDMI in, I can use that as like an input on my switcher. And then I've got a couple other cameras that are nicer that are part of it. The point being is that I'm sort of trying to build this little studio inside this empty bedroom in my house. There's another bedroom where I actually live. It's not in my bedroom itself. It was just like a kind of a small second bedroom I never really knew what to do with. And, you know, when you put a bed in here, then people just come over all the time. Yeah, you don't want that.
You
want to
hang out.
So I was like, I got to do something else with this room. So I've got all this gear that I'm in the midst of trying to understand on a deep molecular level. Some of it I understand better than others, but you know, like I got this, like, got this little preamp, little audio preamp.
Hey, that's what I use.
Oh, you do?
It's Fosse.
The Focus, right?
Yeah. How do you say it? Yes, that's what I got. I love that thing.
Yeah. So I've got a different one actually that I use for mobile podcasts, because I go on the road and produce podcasts for other people.
Yeah.
As you know, part of my job. And so that one is sort of larger, and you know, you can like plug in four XLR, nice cameras, mics right into the front. This one is a little bit smaller, and it's because my audio mixer is great in many ways, but for whatever reason needs a little bit more amplification. Yeah. I mean, you told me my mic sounds good right now, which is great, because I'm not going through my preamp. But anyway, I have all these gadgets literally right in front of me all day long. I just bought a lot of the stuff like just a few weeks ago. So it's a whole new world. Half of it is, you know, a math nightmare, but I really like trying to like problem solve. And actually, speaking about Daily Tech News Show again, for folks who contribute to the Patreon on a certain level, they have access to our Slack, and there's like 300 people in there now. It's super cool. And, or maybe not that much, but quite a few. And everybody is just like ready to help me, and people know things that I don't know. And when I ask about certain sort of esoteric audio questions, there's a few people sort of ready to jump. And it's not unlike a message board, but there's a certain kind of immediacy that's really nice. So
it's super cool. It's having like a little tech posse in your back pocket.
Oh my gosh. Because it's like, nobody can know everything.
Unless you're Tom Merritt.
Unless you're Tom Merritt.
Unless you're Tom Merritt.
Tom Merritt is probably like the only person.
Yeah, Tom.
But yeah, you know, Tom, to his credit, I mean, he built that community because he's been doing this for a few years just on his own, obviously with regular guest hosts and guests and
yeah.
He's got a lot of production support and all of that stuff. But he's
a talent.
I really credit him for building a community of smart, mature, fun folks who really like what we're doing. And so those are my people, always. People that, like, if they have a question that I can answer, I'm so happy to do it, and vice versa.
Well, I'm glad that we get to break in some of your equipment together. As earlier we were trying to get your camera straight and we were close, and then you fixed it because you're a genius and you can do things and you can make things happen. So that was great. So right now we have like 10 minutes left. I want to talk a couple minutes about this iPhone, and then we're going to wrap it up, and I'm going to set you free as the sun sets on the West Coast. So you talked about your love for the iPhone. What do you think about the iPhone X or 10? I shouldn't call it X, but they see, that's their fault too. They should just put a number 10 there because everyone calls it the X, and in the number series, you never call it anything. Just, okay, tell me about it. What do you like? What's going on?
Okay, well, first of all, people say OS X as well, and so there you go. It's not that hard to say 10, Apple's used to it, but whatever. You know, we all know what we're talking about, so I don't really care what anybody calls it. I will be getting it. The iPhone is one of those, let's call it annual indulgences that some women want to save up for very fancy pair of shoes or a handbag or I don't know, whatever. And this is my it's too expensive, but I'm doing it anyway, yearly indulgence. Now, one of the nice things is that it is actually a work tool. So there are certain little tax credits. I'm not going to get all the money back, but this is actually sort of research for my job, but I will be getting it. And the number one reason is because of the camera. I've always been I'm not a great photographer, but I'm very enthusiastic about it. And I love to take pictures. I always did that even when I was a kid, with my little Vivitar camera, I was always like, please, Dad, give me another roll of film. May I do, please, please. And I've always really enjoyed that. And ever since I got an iPhone, all of my kind of SLR stuff stopped, for better or for worse, but I take more pictures than I ever did. And some of my pictures, I'm like, that's really good.
Yeah, your gram be popping. You know what I mean?
I really think it's because lots of pictures I take aren't very good, but I love just having my phone / camera with me wherever I go. I love it. So for that reason, and just because I'm in the ecosystem of Apple as I am to this point, although we are running off a Windows machine right now, so I don't want anybody to give me any grief for being an Apple shill. I get that sometimes. I would be if they paid me, but they don't.
Right.
I'm looking forward to it. The iPhone 8 looks great too. I have a 7 Plus right now, and I shattered my screen a few months ago, so it looks crappy, but it's
you didn't get Apple Care? You didn't get Apple Care?
No, I did not.
It's a criminal move. You know better. Or pro move, pro tip. I say that to you like I'm not like a professional. Get Square Trade. I use Square Trade for my phones now. It's like $150.
What is it?
For
Square Trade?
You don't know about Square Trade?
No.
Okay. Squaretrade.com. Long story short, 2 years on my iPhone, it's $139, and it covers everything. And so if you broke the screen, you mail it in, they mail your phone back. You need a backup phone, but they send you a phone. Like, Leah's broken her phone like 2 times, and the deductible is like only $100, not $200, and there's no monthly fee. Like, what I paid in a year through AT&T insurance every month, $15, I had 2 years of coverage, and for an extra whatever, I can get 3 years of coverage, and it's transferable. So if you paid for 2 years and then you upgrade to an 8 or whatever, you could transfer that plan onto the new phone and keep it rolling if you've never used it for break. Square Trade for all electronics, cameras, microphones, everything.
Is this an ad?
No, it's not. They're not paying me. I'm just, this is how great Square Trade is.
Does sound great.
And saving money. I'm all about saving this money. Now, as far as back to the X, I have an iPhone. I recently, in the last 4 months, I built my first PC 3 months ago. The first PC I've had in 11 years. I've been macked out for 11 years straight. Never owned a PC. And it finally got to the point where I didn't like the new MacBook Pro. The processors and stuff that were coming out for Windows, for the cost, I was like, I can build like a mega beastly machine for like $1,500. And I did. And for 3 months now, I've been off Apple. And it's actually shocking to me. I'm surprised. But as far as the phone's concerned, I can't get the X. I'm a criminal. Something might happen to me, and I don't want somebody being able to hold my phone up to my face and log into my phone. I need a fingerprint reader. I don't know why they couldn't have just put it flat on the back. It's not a real button anyway. Their new button isn't a real button. They could have just made it flat and seamless and still gave me a fingerprint reader on the back, because I believe in Apple, but they didn't do it. So I can't get the X. I'm going to wait for the Pixel 2 to come out, and then I'll probably just end up getting the 8 and then giving my daughter the 7. Because right now she has a 6S Plus because she's spoiled,
that
too.
That sounds like a good move. The Face ID thing, I don't know. I kind of get where there's some doomsday scenarios going on. I'm not super worried about it. You don't have to use it.
You've never been in a fight. Of course, nothing. You out there. You're easy breezy cover girl. You know about it. It's not going to.
Use your passcode. If you don't want Face ID, use your passcode. I do. I mean, Touch ID is... I never put in a passcode unless I have to restart.
Yeah, I just like the easeability of that. I just want to pick it up and go. I want to be able to sneak and act like I'm talking to you right now, but log into my phone and check the text. I don't want to have to hold it up like this and be looking right in. I be doing a whole bunch of stuff. Like I said, I'm semi a criminal. I'm not really a criminal, but some things can happen. You never know. I don't like when you turn it sideways and they got the little devil horns like from HTC just so they could tell me it's edge to edge, and then they got these ugly little top black. I mean, I was on Twitter this weekend. I yelled a whole bunch about it, but I know it's a great phone. I know it's going to be super fast. I know that they make great technology, but I also think about when the fingerprint reader first came out and people were stealing phones and taking a piece of tape and taking them, and then they had to go and implement the put your passcode in after a certain period of time and all that stuff. I just don't want to be a guinea pig for this facial recognition stuff. So you go head out there in the world and you test it for me and you let me know if it's okay.
Will do.
Deal. So lastly, we're done. I'm about to set you free. But before I set you free, tell people where they can find you on the internet and share some stuff where they can come get you. Obviously, we know you're going to be doing a show with Tom now. Woohoo! What else you got going on?
Yeah, starting on October 2nd, that's a Monday. We decided to just start on the first Monday of the next month after we met our Patreon goal. I will be on Daily Tech News Show every day. We record live. We're Pacific time. Tom and I are both in LA, although we have guests from all over the place. At about 1 p.m. Pacific time, we go till about 2. The audio podcast itself is broken out and released to the world shortly thereafter. There's also a Google Hangouts video if you're the kind of person who likes to watch us doing it while we do it. And I'm really, really excited about that. And that is... something that I've been wanting to do for a really long time. And I finally am kind of independent enough to be able to carve out time in the middle of my day, which I wasn't able to do when I had full-time jobs before. So anyway, that's dailytechnewsshow.com. If you're interested in being part of the community that helps support us, it's Patreon. That's patreon.com/DTNS. And you can see, you know, all the other people that have already contributed. But besides that, I'm active on Twitter. It's still my favorite social network, @SarahLane. That's Sarah with an H, L-A-N-E. I'm at Sarah Lane on Instagram as well and on Facebook. And I kind of use Snapchat, but not all that much.
I'm not a really big snapper. I'm not out here snapping.
Yeah, I was for a while, and I feel like a lot of my friends have abandoned it, so it's made my experience a little bit less fun to, like, consume other people's stuff. But I'm still there. My username is Sarah Lane Rocks, and that's kind of it. SarahLane.com. I haven't updated that thing in well over a year, but I will one of these days. But, you know, that's me.
So Sarah's on the internet. If you're listening to this and you made it this far and you don't click something to follow Sarah, I might reach through the microphone and smack you repeatedly in the face. You heard all the fun stuff she's doing. You heard about how gracious and lovely she is. She hasn't even been in a fight, but she still might fight you. Don't test her. I'm just saying, I know what's in Sarah's heart. Don't you mess with Sarah. I know this. I believe it in my heart. I know what she said, but don't you come check with Sarah, because Sarah's not playing no game.
Right. My first fight just has yet to happen.
See? You heard it. It just yet to happen. Ooh, don't test her. I am so thankful for having you on the show. This has been great. I love you so much. Like I said, we had a 150 level. We had squeeze a hug abilities. I'm getting shrimp. I'm on the internet too. If you listen to this, you already know that. I'm at Odoctor on Twitter, at Odoctor on Instagram, Patreon/IQMZ. If you want to throw me a dollar, if you throw me a dollar, I'm going to make this pledge for the next three shows I do. If you are a Patreon member and you message me and you want to talk to me on the phone, I will give you my phone number. I will give you a 5-minute conversation, because I'm out here sharing love, talking to these people in the streets. I'm a man of the people. Sarah is a woman of the people. But like I said, don't mess with her, please, Lord Jesus. Thanks for watching this show. It's been DocTales. Woo! And we're out.